Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby. Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast. You know, the theme today, what we're really wanting to dive into is if you don't ask, you don't get. The book and the podcast are titled Speak and Get What You Want. But that's a really powerful statement. If you don't ask, you don't get. And TK, we were talking about a powerful lesson you learned when you went to dinner with one of Donald Trump's former bankers in New York City. Share that story with us. I love it.
Yeah. You know, I think that it goes back to the book, you know, speak and get what you want. And a lot of about speaking and getting what you want is speaking up. And asking, you know, and that gives us the opportunity. And, you know, I was just at New York kind of doing some marketing. We were chasing capital for some deals, and that's just part of what it takes on some of the things that we do. And, I ended up having the privilege of having dinner with, a couple of bankers that used to work with Donald Trump, and, real impressive guys, really nice guys. And, I asked them, I said, how was that? You know, tell me about some of the deals and things. And they went over one deal in particular where they had some trusty bankers at a table, and they were talking about this particular situation. And Donald at the signing table says, you know what, to do this, I'm going to need $460,000 a month for personal expenses. And they said, he said it with a straight face. And that's what they're like, are you joking? You know, that's what they were thinking in their head. You've got to be kidding. And they started, then the conversations really opened up at the table, and it, you know, kind of got heated. And they were like, you've got to be kidding. You're serious. Like they thought, oh, you're joking. You know, and he wasn't joking.
Over $5 million in personal expenses a year.
For personal expenses at the signing table. And I was laughing, and I was like, so how'd that go? Did you guys give it to him? And they said, we actually ended up giving it to him. We negotiated out, and we actually ended up giving it to him. So it was a very specific number, and I'm sure it was probably beyond, oh, my personal expenses are $460,000 a month, so that's what I need. I'm sure thought was put into that. So he knew how far he could push the table. And Dan Pena, you know, one of the guys I really follow and listen to, he says within every negotiation, there's a boundary, a zone within that negotiation between the two parties negotiating. And the effective negotiator is the one who can define the boundaries of that comfort zone within that negotiation, you know, and the one who can place the deal inside the boundary of that comfort zone nearest his own interest is the effective negotiator.
Interesting.
So I'm sure Donald Trump knew how far he could push that. And
sure.
Probably did some math and found out, okay, I can get $460,000, and that's still pencils for this deal. And that's what he did, and he asked for it. But if you don't ask, you don't get. And that's, I think, the moral that I've really tried to really work on myself this past little while is, you know, getting out of our insecurities and feeling like, oh, I'm going to look dumb, or I might be told no, or I'm going to be embarrassed for whatever reason. And that's when you lose, because you were too scared to ask. And it's a simple principle. We were on a flight not too long ago, a pretty long flight. And we were just flying economy, and I had my boys with me, my kids and my family. And they've flown business class before. And so Jack has flown business class. My youngest is Jack. He's nine. Well, he had experienced that before. And so he wanted some snacks and, you know, crackers.
He's like, wait a second, the economy snacks, aren't like what I was getting in business.
It's not the same. Totally. Not the same thing. So he's like, I'm hungry. And so he gets up and we've tried to instill that in our kids. If you don't ask, you don't get. So he walked up to the stewardess over in first class and said, hey, you guys got some snacks, you know, that I can take back. And they saw this 9-year-old kid and they just loaded him up. You know, they got him cheese, crackers, you know, whatever they had. I can't remember all that he brought back, some drinks, and he rolled it up in his shirt, you know, like carrying it on the stomach of his shirt. came back to the seats and dumped it all out. And he looked at me and pointed his finger. If you don't ask, you don't get, right. You know, just throwing it in my face. And that's just a strong principle. And kids are typically much better at it because they don't have those insecurities. They're not afraid to ask, you know, right. or look embarrassed. They don't even think about it. And
they,
I think,
they don't.
Yeah. And I think that's a principle that all of us need to really work on, because if you want something, you have it. You're not going to get it typically unless you ask, typically.
Right.
And
right.
typically, you're not going to hurt anything if you do ask. It typically isn't going to kill a deal, and there's no reason why you shouldn't. So ask for all you can. You know, I had another deal I was trying to work out with a property that we were buying. We ended up working out a deal, but they were in it for a pretty high level, and they wanted to maintain that level that they had, that they were in the debt in this bank. And I said, well, if you want to maintain that, how about you give us a loan at 0% interest? And then we do it for this, so we can keep you in at that level. And just thought of ways that we could make it happen. And that's 0% interest. Who gives a 0% interest loan?
Right.
And they
right.
said, you know, when you look at what was important to them is not losing the basis of where they were at with the deal. So if we could work structure a way that, you know, puts the deal closest to our boundary, but still gives them a comfort zone of what they're looking for, they'll do what they can to make it work on their side. And so that's what we did, and they agreed to it. And so it just goes back. The more I practice it, the more we learn. If you don't ask, you don't get. And that's just kind of the moral of the story, I think, in for today's episode, that I think something all of us can work on.
Well, and TK, you bring up two very important points that I want to touch on. First, I want to ask, why do you think it, so Jack's 9 years old, okay? A few years ago, I was with my son, Max, and we were checking out at one of those Mexican restaurants that you walk through the line and you know, you point to the burrito and all the garnishes and then you pay for it at the end. Well, we were in kind of a hurry, so I just went to the end and I said, hey, listen, this is what he's getting, and I paid for it. Well, when he got to some of the garnishes, guacamole and some other things, I didn't pay for that. And so Max goes, oh, can you put in some guacamole or some pico de gallo, some of these other things? And they're like, sorry, that costs more. And I'm like, Max, just we're in a hurry. Let's just get through the line. And Max looks at him and says, come on, put a scoop of guacamole on there. You know, come on, you put a scoop of pico de gallo. And the person looked at him and said, ah, okay. And they did it, right? And I was mortified. I was like, dude, what are you doing? Like but he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
Because he have to what you referenced earlier, he spoke up. But let me ask you this, TK, what happens from the age of 9 and Max was 15? What happens when they get older and all of a sudden we feel as adults that we can't do that anymore? Now, obviously, Donald Trump believes he can and never quit thinking that way. But why do you think people are hesitant to speak and get what they want?
Yeah, yeah. And it goes for all of us, you know, myself included. It's things I have to work on and continue to do. It takes practice. I think you and I have talked about this, but we get so concerned about what people think about us. Mm.
Yep.
So if there's others, you know, maybe the person behind the counter, and they probably don't even care, but we're worried what they're going to think about us. The other people that are behind us in line, if you're Max, worried about what those people are going to think. Oh man, how could this guy push for that? You know, how's he being such a tightwad? Whatever we're worried about, they might be thinking about us.
Right.
And I think it goes back to the book by Dr. Spock on parenting. And what he talks about is self-esteem is really built from ages 1 to 7. So if you haven't built self-esteem in your kids before they're 7, it's a really hard thing that they have to acquire after that. And that's happens in most of us. And in fact, Gallup did a poll a few years ago asking just a simple question, are you happy? And 87.6% of people answered, no, they're not happy. You know, and I bet it's actually higher than that, you know, and that's people probably, I bet it's 90 something percent, you know, when you really talk to people, no, I'm not really happy, you know, and I think it goes back to that, in my opinion, that self-esteem. If you're happy with yourself, you're not really thinking about yourself and what other people think about you either. So when you don't worry about what other people think about. You're not afraid to ask, because then it doesn't matter. So that fear tends to go away if we work on our self-esteem. And I'm a firm believer, self-esteem can be built, and you can acquire it if you hadn't had it your whole life. It just takes practice. And where we start practicing is we speak up. And that's what the book's about, you know, speak and get what you want. And that takes practice. You just got to do it. You know, you're in line and you don't really want to ask for the guacamole. Well, that's good small thing to practice on. Why not ask? I want the guacamole. Let's ask. Let's try it. Sometimes you're told no, you know, but you weren't harmed. You know, the worst that happened is you got told no. And we place way too big a deal on what other people in line might be thinking about us, or the person serving us might be thinking about us. You know, who cares? You know, why not get what you want and speak up?
And so, and those who might be listening, TK, this is the second thing I want to really touch on, is that how do they really build that confidence when they may feel like they've been told no so many times? So what happens is, as we get older, people tell us no, people tell us no, people tell us no. And then we begin to accept that. And we quit dreaming, right? And we think to ourselves, oh, I can't accomplish. Oh, I'm limited in what I can accomplish. So as people think about it and say, okay, I'm breaking away from that, I'm going to speak and get what I want, but I really need work on building that confidence. You're saying practice it and it will follow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it just comes with practice. I think you just got to do it and then fake it till you make it, you know? And that goes for all of us. We all have our fears, myself included. You know, I have my fears. I have my comfort zones. I have things that make me uncomfortable, and we all have to work on it. We all have to practice, and speaking up and making that happen is one of those things. So I have a daughter who's pretty motivated right now. She's my oldest. And she's been listening a little bit to Kevin O'Leary and some of these other successful people and what they say would really help. And, you know, door-to-door sales is really good practice. And so she on her own kind of did some research for a bug control company, kind of an exterminating company. Uh-huh. And these people go door-to-door and they sell all summer. And so she decided she wanted to do that. And some of them make really good money for a young kid, you know, over a 3-month period, but it's hard work. And you're really practicing being told no. You know, really the stats are you get one yes for every 50 no's, you know? They're knocking on 50 doors to get one person hopefully signed up. It's a lot of work, but think of the practice of that. How many times you're told no, and then no doesn't really become an issue. It becomes kind of a numbers game. Well, the more no's I get, the closer I am to a yes. And I think that's a really good way that we look at life. You know, why not ask? And the more no's you get, the closer you get to a yes.
And keep asking. And I think, TK, I think it's great for people to know. And I'm just going to uncover something real quickly with you that a lot of people would be stunned to hear, just because of how confident you are today, and how you certainly, and everyone, you know, assumes that you've always had exceptionally high self-esteem. But you've shared with me in some private moments that as you were graduating from high school, and as you were in your young adult time period, that you didn't always have great confidence. In fact, you had some pretty strong insecurities. Yeah. So what brought you to where you are today? Because there's a lot of people that are listening, TK, that are beat up, that they're just like, man, I am struggling. And so what do you think was some of the main factors to you really from a very insecure, maybe low self-esteem individual being able to establish yourself as you are today?
And we all do, you know, we still have our things we got to work through, but I think really how you talk to yourself is a big thing. Mm-hmm. Stop talking negatively about yourself. So that's a big thing. And discovering, okay, what feels better? How does that feel to feel down or insecure? It's not a very good feeling. So why not change? So all you have to do is, you know, Elon Musk had said something that, you know, there's different things. If you give someone a project and you give them 3 months to do it, they're going to take 3 months to do it.
Right.
If you give them 3 hours to do it, they're going to do it in 3 hours. And so the faster you start working on it, why not just make the change and make it now rather than I'll keep working on it. You know, why not just make the change? And that starts with just changing how you talk to yourself. I do affirmations. So I have a list of, I think, what am I at? Like 23 affirmations that I read every morning and every night, you know, for myself on, you know, what I want to be, what I want to happen. You know, one of my affirmations is, my wife is able to buy what she wants when she wants. That's important to me. And so those affirmations of goal setting and giving you direction kind of, I think help us get out of that. You know, Donald Trump himself has said, I heard him say the other day that, you know, you hear about all these kids with depression and all these people. He's like, you know, the best way to get rid of depression, go to work, you know? And I think he includes working on yourself. And that starts with how you talk to yourself.
That's amazing. I love that abundance mindset, TK, where you just pointed out that one affirmation there, though, that gets me thinking, where you say to yourself, my wife buys what she wants when she wants, right? And it's that abundance mindset where you don't limit yourself at all. Mm-hmm. You know, why limit yourself? I mean, there's so many opportunities in this world we live in to be successful, to go speak and get what you want. Don't limit yourself. You know, it was interesting. I heard an individual, he had lost his valet tag or something. I can't remember exactly. And he was going to claim his vehicle. And the individual that was retrieving the car said, oh, you lost this. It's going to cost you $50.
Huh.
And he goes, it's okay, I'm rich. Right. And he kind of laughed about it, and he got in his car and he drove off. He didn't think about, you know, oh my goodness, the $50, what? And you know what? You think about all the energy you would spend on, oh my goodness, $50. It cost me $50, that mistake. He just goes, that's okay, I'm rich. Yeah. And he wasn't saying it in a boastful way, TK. He was just saying, I am rich in resources. I am not going to let any amount of energy be spent on a $50 lost valet tag, right? He's like, I'm going to only focus on positivity, abundance, and so forth.
Right.
And I think that's key when you think about really training yourself to speak and get what you want, is managing your energy too, TK. Like, because so many people get caught up in, oh my goodness, there's not enough money for this, or there's not, I can't do that. Don't limit yourself. Yeah. Don't limit yourself. Say, I'm going to go do that. My wife buys what she wants when she wants. I love that mindset.
Yeah. You know, Robert Kiyosaki, I think most people know who he is, the Rich Dad, Poor Dad guy. You know, my wife and I had the privilege of having dinner with him and his wife a little while ago. And he talks about it. He even talked about it in dinner. You know, I think he has to continually talk to himself positively. Mm. And that's why he brings these things up in dinner.
Sure.
And that's why, because he says it all the time on video, and even had to bring it up in dinner. And I think he does it almost as an affirmation to himself. But he said, you know, when there's something that I really want, rather than thinking about, oh, I can't afford it, change the wording to, okay, how can I afford it?
Ooh.
And then your mindset starts changing. You know,
right.
And then you start setting goals that are bigger than where you were. Cause how good does that feel? Oh, I can't afford that. Well, that's a pretty, you know, defeated type of attitude, you know, rather than saying, okay, how can I afford this? And then you start thinking differently. And I think that's why he even says it, you know, even when we're at dinner, you know, he brought it up. It's probably an affirmation of his own, you know, so that he can continue to keep that mindset. And that's just how he talks. That's how he talks to himself.
And that goes back to the point you just made moments ago, TK, when you're saying, how are you talking to yourself? Are you saying, oh, I can't afford that. I can't. Cassie always says to me when I say, well, if we're going to do this, what this, and Cassie always says, why do you live in an or world? Why don't you live in an and world? You know, and that's the reality of it, right? Yeah. Like, You can do whatever you want. You can accomplish whatever you want. You got to rid yourself of those limiting beliefs. And really, just what you just taught there is powerful in the sense of saying, instead of saying, I can't afford this, change it to, how can I afford this?
Yeah. Yeah. And then how quickly can you do it? You know, I'm going to set this goal that I'll have this 5 years from now. Why not set the goal? I want it as quickly as humanly possible. That way time goes out the door.
Right.
And so, and I think that just goes back to, once we start setting those goals with things that we want, when you want it bad enough, you can dig out of that to where you're going to ask, because that's how you can get what you want. And just,
I love
that's
that.
Why I think that principle in the book, Speak and Get What You Want, is so powerful for all of us, myself, yourself included, that the chances of you getting what you want without asking are slim. So it's not going to cost you anything to ask. It doesn't cost you anything to set really high goals. A goal of having $10 billion versus a goal of having $1 million doesn't cost you any more to write it on the piece of paper, you know?
Exactly.
So why not aim high and as quickly as humanly possible? And then things start changing, in my opinion, you know? And then you're not afraid to ask. And that's when it's those little steps that take practice. And then you're not worried about what other people think about you. You're not worried about how you're going to look or anything else, what they might say about you.
Right.
None of that matters.
Right. Well, and you think about, TK, what you said, or what you shared a few minutes ago when you said, you know what, I'm going to speak these affirmations. I'm going to make sure that I'm speaking to myself the right way. And it becomes a reality. I remember a few years ago, you and I were talking and you're like, yeah, I'm really impressed with Robert Kiyosaki. I think I'd like to go to dinner with him. Right. And then you said that a few times and then you called me and you're like, hey, next week I'm going to dinner with Robert Kiyosaki, him and his wife, you know, and you speak these things and they become a reality. But I will also emphasize this, TK, be careful what you speak, because they become a reality.
Absolutely.
Right. And so when you start limiting too much, and I just want to emphasize one last point, TK, as we wrap up here, you've shared amazing insights into how we communicate with others and examples with Donald Trump and with Jack and others of how, when you speak up and you get, you know, speak so that you truly can get what you want, and the power of those affirmations. But I want to just emphasize one other point that you've always mentioned to me over the years is, be very, very careful who you spend the majority of your time with, because they will begin to speak and get what they want, and it will inspire you to think bigger, to have an abundance mindset. But conversely, TK, if you're hanging out with the wrong people, they will cause you to limit your beliefs far, far too much.
Yeah.
And I just know, for me personally, the more time I spend around you, the more my mind begins to think. When I'm with you, TK, I feel like I can buy the world. I can do whatever. I can accomplish anything. I can walk through that wall. You know, I can do whatever, because that's what you do for me personally. And my wife, and I know I've shared this with you before, but when you and I get off a phone conversation or whatever, I can hang up the phone and Cassie's like, you were just on the phone with TK, weren't you? And I'll be like, how'd you know? She goes, I can tell. You're just glowing. You feel like you can do anything, you know? And so I just remind everyone who's listening to be very, very careful with the amount of time you spend, or with the people you spend time with.
This is why Chad's so good at making it about other people. If you watch that, he's always making people feel good.
Well, so, but TK, why, it's real. It's very real.
You know, I think it is important that we watch who we hang with. That's a really big thing. Dan Pena always tells me, you know, richness rubs off and poorness rubs off. So be careful who you hang with, you know. And that doesn't just mean poor money wise. That could mean poor attitude. That could mean poor mindset. There's a lot of definitions of poor beyond money. And those are things to watch out for.
Isn't that interesting? That I had years ago, someone pointed out to me in the Bible, TK, that it talks about poor and needy. And they said, well, needy can be anybody. Poor is a mindset. Yeah. And so getting rid of that poor mindset and really surround yourself with people with the abundance mindset, the people that think to themselves, as you referenced Robert Kiyosaki, not saying I can't afford it, but rather how can I afford it?
Absolutely.
And truly speak and get what you want. I love it, TK. Love the insights. Love spending time with you. What you shared was game-changing and life-changing for those listening. TK, have an amazing, amazing day, and we'll see you all again soon. Take care.
Bye now. Guys.